wind doesn't wait. Sometimes it storms in, sometimes it creeps in quietly, unfolding in ways we only notice later. It stirs in boardrooms, in classrooms, in streets and communities, wherever people act with purpose. What moves you? Is it a vision, a challenge, or a belief that businesses are a force for good? What holds you back? External factors, limiting beliefs or habits? I'm Michelle Knorr, and this is Moved, the podcast of 289 people inspiring change. We'll be speaking with people exploring what first moved them, what they've achieved, and the challenges that they've had to overcome, both outside and within. Each episode is about human performance, leadership, sustainability, doing the work that matters, and the moments that have changed everything. Hi everyone, welcome to the Moved podcast. I'm hosting today and I'm having a really interesting conversation with Gary Watts, who is an old colleague of mine, is my other co-host here at Moved podcast and is the founder of Obstacle. So it's a pleasure to have you on your own podcast today, Gary. How's it going?
Thank you, Michelle. It's going very well.
Good, I'm glad. So I have been so excited for this conversation. We've known each other since 2021, which is when I believe you joined Alchemy Consulting as a director.
That's right.
And I was an analyst back then. We were doing lots of change management stuff. And I'm really glad that we've stayed in touch. 4 years later, here we are. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel the same. It's been really good that we kept in touch. I noticed your career with interest when you went off to EY as a climate and sustainability consultant. It was really good to meet you back in the day as well, even though I think it was all virtual at the beginning, wasn't it? With
Yeah,
Alchemy in
crazy
the
times.
pandemic. But yeah, it's been great to keep in touch and to do this now.
Yeah, so I wanted to learn a lot more about you, and hopefully our audience will learn a lot more about you today as well. Give me a summary of what your career's been like so far.
Oh my goodness. I'm at an age now where my career has been, there's maybe quite a lot of things to say. And I don't want to bore you hugely. That might sound wrong. It's actually been a really interesting career. I did a computer science degree quite a while ago now. It was actually just before the dot-com bust that I did that. And at the time doing that degree, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I did join a technology company, and that was a great place to start my career. One of the first things I worked on was the Y2K bug, actually. Turns out we got paid quite a lot of money to there was actually no issues in the end, but it was an important insurance policy probably. And then after a few years in the technology industry in product and services, I was drawn to management consulting. I just wanted to, it felt like in a technology provider, you were at a distance from the clients, and I wanted to get closer to clients and closer to actually inside organizations, not just selling them products. What is it like? So I thought that management consultancy would be a good way for that. I joined a firm called PA Consulting that pretty big in England, and globally actually. I was there for a number of years, and then I went into a global engineering company where I had a big part of my career actually. Learned a lot about leadership and delivery on some really interesting programs. And yeah, it was then probably brings up to where we met, where I thought, well, it's the biggest recession in 100 years at the beginning of the pandemic, so surely this is a great time to move then. And I joined what was a small management consultancy at the time that you were at, Alchemy. And that was a really, really fabulous few years actually, with some brilliant people. We doubled the size of that in a couple of years, working with some fabulous people in the leadership team and across all of the consulting base. And yeah, more recently, I decided to try something a little bit new, and I created my own business earlier this year, which is Obstacle. And then the latest thing creating is the Moved podcast, which as we speak now hasn't actually launched yet. It launches in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, here we are.
The brilliant journey, and thank you so much for sharing all of this. I wanted to understand When you look back at your career, or you kind of look back at your last few days in consulting, was there a moment that made you realize that you want to move away from traditional consulting and do something more high impact, which is what I know you do at Obstacle, and I will ask about it a bit more. But yeah, what made you take the jump, do something different?
Well, I still love consulting. I still think that it's best. It's one of those industries that, like many things, can have a perceived negative side and a positive side. At its best, you have brilliant people, brilliant minds that are, it tends to attract people that are interested in serving others, I think. That's my experience. It tends to attract people that have a short attention span potentially. I tend to need to move from a thing to a thing to a thing to a thing. I'm great at starting things. I sometimes need to surround myself with other people that are good at finishing things. But where you have a shorter attention span, you want to experience variety, but you also want to serve and help and ideally leave lasting impact. I think consulting at its best is those kind of things. You get variety, you get to help, you get to hopefully improve teams and organizations, be in a better place. So yeah, there are probably aspects of it, such as the, take the watch off your wrist and tell you the time type analogies. I know there is that sort of thing with consulting, but at its best, I've had some fabulous times working with teams where you feel really with the client, helping them through things. So I'm still passionate about that. The thing with Obstacle that I wanted to do, actually, if I'm really honest, when I started Obstacle at the beginning of this year, I hadn't quite locked on my vision, but I've been lucky enough to. I've worked in a variety of sectors. Some of the sectors that I've worked in have been more public service, public sector, where you're, trying to help citizens fundamentally. And that is the, I love private sector too, but some of those things where I've been working with aspects of UK government, I've really loved. And then I realized, and I may be quite late to, you've been looking at the UN SDGs probably a lot longer than me. I realized that actually there are many things in the world that are really, really important. So at its worst, perhaps, a consultancy could just sell anything to anyone. But at its best, I think a consultancy could work with the organizations that are really, really trying to make a difference. I love business and I love private sector, and I think private sector and profit at its best is working on things which improve society and improve, the natural environment as well. And so I thought, if I create something Obstacle, which is coaching and consulting, I would like to try to have that as being something that works with clients that are really focused on meaningful things. I mean, most people probably would say that that is the case, but the kind of challenge I gave myself was to try to get exposure to people and organizations that are trying to make a difference on either any of the UN SDGs or the other frameworks available. So that was the that's the motivation I had this year in starting that.
I love that. And I'm really glad that you got time and you were brave enough to jump into purpose-driven work. I think that's the goal for so many people out there. Like, honestly, first of all, I'm really proud of you. And second of all, I wanted to ask, what does purpose mean to you, both personally and professionally? It's a broad term, and I really want to learn what that means for you.
It's a fascinating question. I don't think that I used to think about purpose as such. I knew the word, but I don't think I used to think about it in my work, in my career. There was a session I attended probably 5 or 6 years ago, which was from a lady, Sarah Rosenthaler. Still keep in touch with her. She authored a book called Powered by Purpose. So she was, I attended a talk from Sarah where she was presenting that book, and she was talking about how purpose is really so essential, that North Star for an organization, how it can galvanize, because otherwise it's just activity and you don't necessarily know where you're going or why you're going there. So she did an exercise, and it was almost an experiential exercise where you stand in a way that aligns with your current organization's purpose. And then the next thing she said was along the lines of adjust your feet, change in a different direction if you feel like your personal purpose is different from your organization's purpose. So it was a little bit experiential, I won't say what organization I was in at the time, but I stood a certain way and then I felt myself move, and I don't quite know, exactly how the technique she was using there. But that got me thinking. I got her book, I read it, I was in touch with her afterwards. She actually then we brought her in to support another organization that I was part of. And I've got to know Sarah Moore. She's a fabulous person. And it just really shifted me. And purpose maybe comes from a more privileged position, because I know not everyone can, sometimes you have to work, you have to look after yourself and your family and your friends. And, it's not always easy in the world of work and the world of business. But if you're lucky enough to be able to try to do work that where you really feel like, yeah, this aligns with the impact that I would want to have in the world, your personal purpose might be to help others, or it might be, it can be various different things. And for that to align with being in an organization, I guess an example might be health. If you really just want to care for other people and make them better in all the different ways, I know you've mentioned being a doctor before, then that would be a really natural career for you to go into. So turns out that I think it's one of the most important things in life and in business to think about your purpose. For an organization, I would always start there. The purpose comes first, the vision comes second, the strategy comes after, then the people starts with purpose.
I like that. Thank you, Gary. I wanted to learn a little bit more about obstacle. What are you trying to set out to do? Give me an elevator pitch.
So it's so new. Obstacle is so new. It's only around 8 months old, and I'm still learning. I kind of created it to experiment, actually. So, but the vision I had was around the UN SDGs. And I know that they launched 10 years ago, and they were a work of art in many respects, I think. I've looked at all the past videos of the UN launch events 10 years ago, and it was a time when it looked like you had global consensus. You had global consensus on big goals that mattered. And I didn't really know about them at the time. I've come to them since, and I think they are hugely powerful. Like, it's not lost on me that the deadline as such for those 17 goals, as was laid out 10 years ago at the launch event, is in, I think, about 4 years' time, 5 years' time. It's soon, 2030. And as much as the goals themselves, the 17 goals, for me, are beautiful and galvanize, actually the targets, they're very detailed. It's probably very hard to achieve, but it looks like most of those wouldn't be achieved. And actually, more than that, it looks like you've moved from global consensus to headwinds, and actually, there's real challenges now in terms of people aren't necessarily aligned. It's become more of a political football. And so now would be the very, very worst time to create a business that's trying to align itself with those things, because maybe their day has gone and is something new now. So it would be the very worst time to create a business that's focused on those. But for me, I disagree. Like, I think they're really onto something. I've been to a few UN breakfast events recently, and I'm not the only one in the community that thinks, please don't, replace those with something else. They're really, really powerful. The 17 colors, the 17 goals, they're really, really powerful. And I think my vision is to work to learn, because in my career, I've worked in some areas that have related to a handful of the goals, but I've absolutely not worked in all of them. And the business would be continuing to work in those areas that I'm really passionate about, such as like justice and safety and so on, and in innovation. But I would like to, me or the people that work with me in the organization are working for individuals, leaders, or organizations that are making a difference on one or more of those goals. So that was the vision that I had, was to work with 17 individuals or businesses in each of the 17 goals over 17 years. So make it a, legacy project, significant thing that you'll spend a good part of your career doing. So that would be 289 people or organizations. Actually, turns out that's quite hard. It's still, I know the vision is powerful because it makes me feel alive, but it is quite hard because time passes, 9 months in now. And that's where the podcast, if you didn't mind me jumping on, that's where the podcast idea came from, because I'm not necessarily going to coach or consult with that number of people in related to all those goals over that period of time. That might happen. Let's try. But you can at least speak with
Crossed.
people. So that's where the podcast
Absolutely.
came. Let's start to explore this field.
I love that. I remember seeing your launch for Obstacle on LinkedIn. I was curious at the time. I'm still curious now. Why Obstacle? What's the story behind the name?
So I have been drawn to kind of Eastern philosophy, spirituality for the best part of my adult life, as it happens. So Stoicism, Buddhism, so on. And there is a phrase, there's many, many phrases, but there is a phrase, the obstacle is the way most people have heard that expression. I think it's a Stoic thing. And that's been something that's kind of featured in my life in some ways, and that it st sticks with me that, you know, I don't wish people to suffer or to struggle. Most people do probably suffer and, you know, struggle to like relatively like to varying degrees on a daily or you know, regular basis. I don't wish people to have difficulties, but I do also think that you become usually stronger as a result of them. So that phrase, the obstacle is the way, did stick with me. And I did a one of the things I love doing is coaching. I did a diploma in coaching psychology and positive psychology about 18 months ago. And that is the thing in my work with individuals that I'm often doing. I'm often getting into like what they really want to achieve, but what's blocking them, the obstacle, the challenges, which are sometimes external in the world, that's often in your head. And so I wanted to bring that to life in the company name a little bit. Unfortunately, obstacle.com was taken, so I did a different spelling of it, and I'm kind of happy with it. It's a word I hear all the time now. Maybe it's, you know, once you think of yellow car, you see yellow cars everywhere, but I'm always seeing the word obstacle. I feel like I've claimed it a little bit. Obstacle is a negative word, you could say. And someone said to me, not many businesses have negative names, you know, that I can think of. The poison, there was a perfume called Poison, but it's few business names have negative connotations. But I sort of want to reclaim it, because an obstacle sounds like a negative thing, whereas I think they are the things that you experience that make you stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something you can overcome that obstacle, and it's a leapfrog into a new era of you, is what I'd like to call it. I
Yeah.
love that. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
But yeah, that question, I've been wanting to ask it for quite a few months now, so I'm glad we're finally there. What's the hardest obstacle you've had to face in your professional journey? How did you overcome it? And do you think it set you up for your future?
My goodness. The hardest
Very deep
obstacle.
questions here.
Yeah. The hardest obstacle I've had to face in my professional journey. I think there have been a number for sure. All sorts in the, you know, earlier parts of my career. The natural process of learning and finding your feet and establishing yourself and progressing and so on. So it's probably countless from then. I think one of the ones, well, actually, what I'm doing with Obstacle is quite, it turns out quite a challenge in itself. And I've learned so much this year in never before. For all my experiences, I've never actually started a business, owned a business, tried to do something where you don't have the brand, don't have the people, you know, you really are an absolute standing start. Turns out quite hard, but that is as liberating as it is, it's also tough in equal measure. And so this year actually does stand out as one of them. I would actually say the place that we worked at together as well, I think we did something really powerful there in terms of creating a really positive culture, assembling really, really strong team to go after that, and getting lots of people behind us and scaling quite fast. But you can sometimes, you know, sometimes you can hit adversity. Sometimes you can have, you know, leadership is not always aligned. And that was also one of the challenges that I faced in the last organization that I worked, where you have something potentially really powerful that you're trying to build, a lot of people are behind it, and then That probably will go on to, from strength to strength, but you can get to a moment where you realize that people need to go in a different direction. So yeah, lots of learnings throughout. I have multiple scars, but in a positive way, hopefully.
Very positive way, because yeah, again, you're speaking so positively about it. A lot of people may not do that. They might be bogged down. So you said that you've worked at an award-winning consultancy in recent years, and you've already touched on this slightly in your previous answer. What did that experience teach you about navigating people and change?
Navigating people and change.
Yeah.
People are so complex. We're really, really complex. The world of work is the world of people, and no matter how you organize or whatever automation you bring in, even in this age of AI, which is exciting and accelerating really, really fast, the world of work, is the world of people. And whether you're working on your own firm or company and building that or scaling that, or whether you're working with different clients that you might have, and their organizations, I think painting a picture of where you're going is really, really important. Because no one wants to, people can get disengaged. Disengagement is actually quite high in the workforce, I think globally and in the UK even. So actually painting a picture of where you want to go is really, really important. And then often people would talk about values and culture. And I think that's an area that I've experienced more viscerally over the years, that anyone can say what your values or your culture are. You can put posters on the wall and say, this is our values and this is our culture. But values and culture is observational, it's not aspirational. And as you get bigger, maybe if you're small and you've got the certain values and you really believe them, that's fine. But as you get bigger, making sure you keep recruiting to those is hard, actually. And the moment you, particularly maybe higher senior people that don't align to those things, you've lost, because you can't just put them on a wall. You can't put them on a pillar or a bill, poster. Your values, if you say them, people will hold you to them. And I think people rightly hold you to high standards. So I think I've learned a lot around that. Vision, painting a picture, is really important. Values are not wishy-washy. Like, when you kind of come to them, you have to really mean it, and then you have to hold to them. And as you engineer or scale a business, you have to really think about how you truly live to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. And I think I can say this to you because we've had that relationship where I was an analyst at the time you were a director. I always looked up to you in the sense that you embodied the values that you preached. And I think that's so important because it does really limit things if you're not embodying the things that you're claiming to embody and not acting like that day to day.
Thank you so much. I'm sure I don't always, I would absolutely make mistakes. I'm definitely not perfect. But yeah, thank you so much.
But yeah, no, just thank you for everything you've taught us. You've mentioned that the UN SDGs inspire you. Which of the 17 resonates with you the most personally, and why?
I think they're all really powerful. Justice and safety is a key one for me, because I think that's a basic human need, to feel safe. Like, there's nothing, I try to not look at the news too much, but if you do look at the news, like, it tends to be, negative, whether it's at a national level and, hostilities or war, or within a, within an area, just crime, people not treating each other well, those sorts of things. Justice and safety. Safety, I think, is such a basic human need. And I think if all the other global goals were better, we would have more safety. I feel like war and crime is often as a result of the other things not being right. So if we had, if the environment was cleaner, if water was cleaner, if there was less poverty, if there was less hunger, if there was less, competition for resources and all those kind of things, then I think if that was better, life on land was thriving, life below water was thriving, then safety would be there. It's almost like For me, like an indicator of the other things not being right. It's not that you would have like perfect harmony if all of them were right, but I just think it's so crucial. So safety for me is really, really important. I believe in it strongly. The other ones that I've not worked in, are probably life on land and life below water. They really, really stick to me. I've never, I'm not even the best swimmer, but for some reason, life below water really stands out for me. I just think it's, whether it's making sure, I think it's actually a fallacy, this statistic, but at some point we might have more plastic in the oceans than fish. I want the oceans to be beautiful. I think they're huge, huge part of the earth. It's the biggest, I think, volume, more than land. And I'm not sure we even know what all of the life is in the ocean. So that one really resonates for me as well. I would love at some point to get more exposure to that.
And I really hope you do. I think we've got 4 minutes, so I'm going to ask you one last question. What's your aim for this podcast? What does moved mean to you? And what are you planning on getting out of this?
So I think that's where I came from. I didn't want it to be, the obstacle show. I wanted this to be a little bit different. So moved could be is on one level, factual and exploratory. It's another level, like emotional. That's why I picked the name. So I want to be moved in learning more, speaking to more people, hearing stories. And I hope that people are moved to by it. I think it's probably not the only podcast of its kind. But I want it to be a platform to speak to so many people that are focused on positive impact, to hear their stories, to hear what moved them. And hopefully, in the listeners, they are affected by it in some way, whether it's a really, really small way that they want to do something different as a result, or potentially a bigger way. Potentially, sometimes it might even change a career trajectory or something else. But to be moved to take more positive action, to live your life even better way, or your career in an even better way, would be a good result for me.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to all of the episodes.
Thank you very much.
This is the Moved Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe and don't forget to tell others about it. I'm Michelle Noor, and you are?
Gary Watts.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been fabulous.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Moved. If this has sparked something for you, subscribe and share it with someone who's looking to make a difference. I'm Michelle Noor, and we'll see you next time as we explore what moves people and ideas forward.